Like Pastor has said, by the grace of God, we are trusting God for a major paradigm shift in our missions and evangelism this year. Actually, the way God intended for the church to function is that everybody in the church should be involved in fulfilling the purpose for which God had created the church. There is a singular purpose for which God created the church for. And the purpose is to establish the reign, the kingdom of Jesus in every land, in every nation, so that from all the nations of the world, from all the tribes, from all the languages, everybody will return to worship God. The sole reason why God created man is that man should worship God. But unfortunately, something happened along the way. You remember the principle that Jesus Christ gave for worship. He said, God cannot just be worshipped anyhow, because God is spirit. And those who will worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. So the spirit of God, which God breathed into the nostril of man when he first made man, that made man to become living soul, that spirit was lost in Genesis chapter 3. And since that time, man was no longer in the right state to worship God. And for that reason, God sent Jesus Christ into the world in order to free man from the bondage of the flesh, the bondage of the old man, the bondage of the sinful nature, the bondage of Satan, into which man had subjected himself into. So until a man is freed from flesh, until a man is freed from sin, until a man is delivered from Satan, such a person cannot worship God. And God desires that every nation should worship him. And for this reason, after he has paid the full price for the redemption, when he has said, "It is finished," then he came back to the church. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations of the world." That is the major reason for the creation of the church. Every other thing is an addendum. But today what we see is that the church has started to major in minor and minoring in major. But we are trusting God that as a church, we will return to our original possession, and we'll begin to take the gospel everywhere in the world. So today, we'll be looking at God's purpose for our jubilee. God's purpose for our jubilee. A lot of explanations, a lot of interpretations, a lot of things have been said concerning jubilee. For those of you who have been part of the church since last year, November, when we had the revival services, and up to this year, during the one week fasting and prayer, and even up until last week, we are still talking about jubilee. But summarily, what is jubilee? Jubilee, as the way I see it, summarily from the Bible, is divine emancipation from every form of slavery, every form of bondage and captivity, which leads to restoration, recovery, rest, and rejoicing. If God had done so much to free us, there must be a purpose. And we discover that those who first experienced the jubilee, the people of Israel, when the Lord delivered them, when the Lord set them free from their captivity, from their bondage in Egypt, God went ahead to declare the purpose for which he was going to set them free. And after he had set them free, he reiterated the purpose so that they would know that they are not just free to continue to live as if they were still in bondage. When the Lord was speaking to Moses, when he first called him and he was giving him the mandate, he said, "I am sending you to Pharaoh." And when he was speaking to him, in Exodus, Exodus chapter 4, from verses 22 to 23. He said, this is what you are going to say unto Pharaoh. He said, Israel is my firstborn. Therefore, release my firstborn to go and worship me, to go and serve my purpose. And if you don't release my firstborn, I will kill your own firstborn. If you go on again in chapter 5, the same thing was said. Let my people go that they may worship me. You can see that the purpose for their liberty was already clearly stated. And even in chapter 19, verses 4 to 6, and in chapter 10, when Pharaoh was trying to negotiate the freedom, the jubilee of God's people, he said, how many of you are going? I will only permit the men among you to go. And Moses said, no, everyone, our young, our old, our women, even our livestock. Because this emancipation is an absolute freedom that God is giving us. Everyone is involved. Everyone is included in the purpose of God. So no one is to be neglected. Now you can see now that this has already dispelled some of the misconceptions about the mission of the church. Many people do not know what the church exists for. Now we know that the church exists for serving the purpose of God. And what is the purpose of God? That the kingdom of God be established in every land, in every nation of the world. And another misconception that many people have about missions is that mission is the task of certain individuals in the church. Mission is the work of the mission committee. Mission is the work of selected few, those who are interested. You can see now that mission is to be carried out by the young, by the old, the children, the adult men, the adult women. And even all that God has given us, our livestock, everything that God has given us, everything that God has freed us with, is to be involved in executing the purpose of God on earth. So we have seen the purpose of God. And you remember in Genesis chapter 12, when God was actually calling Abraham for the first time, he stated clearly what the purpose for his calling was to be. In Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3, he said, I will bless you, I will make your name great, I will make you great, and in you all the families on earth shall be blessed. I am redeeming you so that through you, this redemption will extend to every person on the surface of the earth. And when Jesus Christ came, he said the same thing. Go into all the nations and make disciples. Go into all the world, because God desires to see everybody returning to him to worship him. But from the passage or the passages of the scriptures that we have read this morning, especially in Deuteronomy, we saw again what has been the age-long attitude of mankind. We sang in the opening hymn, and we saw how every other creatures that God created fulfilling their purpose for their creation. The only creation that God has always been having problem with in understanding and fulfilling the purpose of God for their creation is mankind. God has never had any issue with the sea and the ocean, the trees. He said, heaven declares the glory of God. Even the firmament is handiwork. Day to day, they pour out speech. This other creation, they keep on fulfilling the purpose of God for their creation every day. But for man, only God knows what he has put in man that makes man to be so rebellious, to be so adamant, to be so obstinate. But I want to thank God that our God is so very, very patient, very, very tolerant, because he actually has no other method other than we. Look at it. When Cornelius was to hear the gospel, All that the angel could do is to point the attention of Cornelius to Peter that was far away. The angel that came to speak to Cornelius was not given the privilege of sharing the gospel. It is only the man that God created in his image that he has given the privilege to rule over this world, to have dominion over everything and establish the reign of God in this world. But right from the time of the beginning till this time, man has always been using his freedom, the jubilee that God has given him, even to rebel against God. So we discover that in this passage, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, God has to come down again. After he has freed these people, he has brought them to Horeb, Mount Sinai. He has to come down again after 1 year. About 2 years, they have been there. This is not where you're supposed to be. Horeb supposed to be an introduction to the fulfillment of your purpose. Horeb is not your conclusion. Break camp, advance, and go into the hill countries. Go and take over the land. The truth is, except the church goes and take over the land, there will be no peace anywhere in the world. Except the church goes and announce the gospel of the kingdom, mankind will remain lost. Mankind will remain in bondage. Mankind will remain in captivity. Only the church, God has given the privilege to share the gospel. So we see that God was speaking to the people of God that the freedom, the jubilee that I have given you is not meant for you to remain here on the mountain in my presence here, enjoying, you know, all the atmosphere, the miraculous. You remember in Mount Sinai how the Lord will speak and there will be thunder, there will be smoke, there will be all kinds of things, miraculous experiences. And God said, all of these things, they are to motivate you. They are to encourage you. They are to strengthen you to fulfill the purpose for which I have created you. In other words, the victories that I've given to you, the jubilee that I've given to you, is given to you in order to go and conquer the world, in order to go and take over the world. And victories are not won by hiding out or by staying too long on the same spot, doing the same thing over and over again and again. You can only win the victory. You can only conquer the world by going into the land, by taking over the land and fulfilling the purpose for which I've created you. Beloved, all the encounters that we have had with God, all the things that God has done for us, in the year of Jubilee, the Lord promoted me. In the year of Jubilee, the Lord gave me this testimony. All of those things sum up together. They are part of God's way of motivating us, encouraging us, and strengthening us to go into the land. Horeb is actually our reference point. It's the place we should take bearing, not the place to stay put. And I look at Horeb. To the people of Israel, what significance does Horeb have to them? The first thing I saw was that at Horeb, that was where Israel was organized into a nation. If you remember in chapter 19 of Exodus, he said, of all the peoples on the surface of the earth, I have chosen you to be my own treasured possession. I will make you into a kingdom of priests. So they were organized into a nation. If you like it, you know, that's the language we use in Baptist church. There will be a time the church will be planted and there will be a time that the church will be organized. That's Horeb experience. Another thing was that it was at Horeb God established a lasting covenant with Israel. He made a covenant with them. He said, through you, I'm going to save the whole world. The whole world is mine, but out of all the world, you have become my own treasure possession. And of course, he gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave them the law, the Torah, which is a comprehensive set of rules and regulations that are to guide their life and their living as a people of God. But these people, for over 2 years, they have remained on the same spot. Nations were waiting for them. The entire human creation eagerly await the manifestation of the sons of God. And the sons of God are still hiding out at Horeb, organizing all sorts of programs, all sorts of services, all sorts of whatever, breakthrough service, anointing service, everything. When we have received the anointing is meant to be spent outside there. You know, if we do not depart from Horeb, Horeb is a place where grace will turn to grief. You know what? Because everybody is given grace. But when the grace is not having room of expression, what will happen? There will be rivalry, there will be competition, there will be all sort of conflict. And before you know it, the grace will be lost and the grace will be buried. So the Lord is saying today that we must advance. So from the passages of the scriptures that we have read, four things the Lord wants to point our attention to as we understand and fulfill his purpose for our jubilee. The first thing is in the verse 6 of that Deuteronomy chapter 1. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have dwelt long enough on this mountain. Break camp. Advance, break camp. What does that mean? In order for us to fulfill the purpose of God for our jubilee, we must depart from the status quo. We must move away from status quo. We cannot continue to do the same thing in the same way and expect to get different results. It is not possible. If we desire to get different results, we must break camp. We cannot remain in the same location and expect to reach our destination. You remember when God saved them? He has a destination in view. He said, Moses, you have to take them out of Egypt and bring them into Canaan. But now they were at Horeb, having all sorts of services, all sorts of worship experience and everything, and they were just experiencing God. And God said, no, you cannot remain on this same location, at this same location, and expect to reach your ultimate destination. Your ultimate destination is the land flowing with milk and honey. God was like speaking, like he spoke to David in Psalm 2, verse 8. He said, ask of me, I will give nation to you as inheritance. Ask of me, I will give to you nations for your inheritance and the hands of the heart for your possession. Horeb is our reference point. Horeb is the place where we should take our bearing. Horeb is supposed not to be our destination. And I want to declare to us as a church that number 57 Latif Jakande Avenue is actually our reference point, our starting point. The whole world is our constituency. If we ask the Lord to give us the whole world, he said, the whole world will become our possession. God does not intend to limit us to this few plots of land. But this few plots of land is supposed to be a reference point for us, the hub of our work, where we'll launch out into the world. Look at this beautiful edifice. You see all the columns aligning. When you look up, you see the ceiling aligning. Before they can get all of these things to align together, there must be a reference point where all of these things, start from. And you know, if we continue to extend and to extend and to extend this auditorium, even if we extend to Ekpe, so far we do not break away from the reference point. Everything will continue to align. That is what God intends Horeb to be for the people of God. So we cannot remain in the same location and expect to get to our ultimate destination. We must depart from the status quo. All those things that we have been doing the same way since 1967, it is time to break camp. It is time to depart from them and begin to move forward. The second thing that God points out to the people, if you look at verse 8, He says, see. Do you see that word? He says, see. What does that mean? You need to catch a vision. A vision for global mission. If we understand the purpose of God for our jubilee, and we will fulfill the purpose of God for our jubilee, God says, it is not enough for us to depart from status quo. When we are departing from status quo, we need to catch a vision for global mission. And that also dispels another misconception about mission. You know, some people believe that mission, you have to start locally. Then you begin to graduate. You begin. That is not correct. What Jesus Christ said in Acts 1:8 is actually what many people have misunderstood. He said, you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and utmost part of the world. If you look at that statement in KJV Bible, the old King James Bible, it helps us a lot. And when you look at it in KJV, it said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in. That phrase, both in, actually means simultaneously. Simultaneously in Jerusalem, simultaneously in Judea, simultaneously in Samaria, simultaneously all over the world. Because when you look at what God told the people of God in verse 7, he said, break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Araba, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, simultaneously. So we must catch the vision for global mission. Like I said, Horeb is just the reference point, the starting point. The whole world is the place for our mission. So the Lord wants every department in this church to begin to think outside the box, to begin to see beyond number 5 and 7, Latif Jakande, and to begin to see the picture of the whole world. And I love the way the people in mission, we interpret that Acts chapter 1 verse 8. They say, Jerusalem, that's our city. Judea, that's our country. Samaria, that's our continent. And then the rest of the world. Number 3. The understanding and the fulfillment of the purpose of God for our jubilee also demands our obedience to the divine instruction. I like what our pastor put in the bulletin. As stated by Hudson Taylor. By the way, Hudson Taylor was such one of the old missionary who left the convert zone of England, and he was the first person to go into China in those days. He said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is not an option to be debated. We need not to start debating it, that should we go or should we not go. Where should we start from? We have to start from our city simultaneously and begin to go to all our country, to begin to go to all the nations in our continent and the rest of the world. He said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. So we must obey the divine instruction. What is the divine instruction? He says, see, I have given you this land. Then look at the next statement. Go in and take the possession of the land. Go in. Not stay here, but go in. We are not to stay at Horeb. We are to go into the land and take possession. What does it mean to take possession? To take possession means we have to dislodge the previous tenants on the land. I tell you, except the church launch out, no matter how much campaign we do on social media, that will not temper the anger of Boko Haram. They will continue to unleash terror. The only method to stop Boko Haram is to preach the gospel. When they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will bow to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Apostle Paul was more terrible than Shekarau. You remember? He was more terrible. But when on the day Apostle Paul encountered Jesus Christ, what did he do? He humbly surrendered his life to Jesus. And he became the preacher of the faith he once persecuted. He became the defender of the Lord he once persecuted. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only the gospel has the power, has the capacity to change man's life. There is no person, no matter how difficult he is, no matter how terrible he is, when he hears the gospel, he must bow. Even if he chooses not to bow, he cannot deny the power that is in the gospel. You remember King Agrippa? When Paul was standing trial before him, you know, that I love that Apostle Paul. Every occasion, he saw opportunity for preaching the gospel in every occasion. He was standing trial and he was making his defense. He began to preach the gospel. And the king said, it's no short time you want to make me a Christian. He said, that is actually what I desire for you to be. Even the King Agrippa could not deny the power that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the totality of God's power, is the totality of God's wisdom to set every man free. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It is only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can reveal the true righteousness that God approves. And that is why we must go and preach the gospel. We must obey. Go in and possess the land. Except we go in, we cannot take possession. Except we go in, we cannot dislodge the previous occupants of the land. As long as we continue to stay at Horeb, they will continue to do their own thing. And the danger is, even at Horeb, they can come and overtake us. They can come and dislodge us from Horeb. We must go in. We must go in. And lastly, from Joshua chapter 1, if not for the spirit of time, we will have started looking at that passage of the scripture from verse 1. But for the space of time, permit me just to jump to verse 6. He said, be strong, be courageous. Be strong and of good courage, for to these people you shall defy. The understanding of God's purpose for our jubilee and its fulfillment also rests in our understanding of God's strategy. Right from the time immemorial, the number of people that God has been depending on to take over the whole land have always been very, very few in number. When he first created Adam and Eve, he said, I have given the whole world to you to rule over. How will two people rule over the whole world? When he called Abraham and Sarah, he said, in you, all the families on earth shall be blessed. How can all the families on earth be blessed through just one family? When he called the nation of Israel, there were just about 1 million people. How would they take over the entire universe? When Jesus Christ commissioned the church, they were just about 120 people. And he said, go into all the world. How will 120 people take over the whole world? That is the mystery. That is the miracle. And that is where our obedience, except we obey God, we will not experience the power that our God has. So the strategy, he said, defy it. All of you should not just be following the same direction. Defy it. I look at another version, he said, allocate. Allocate. That is, to every tribe, allocate. All of you should not just go the same direction. You remember in the days of Joshua, he didn't take note of this strategy. Ab initio. He was taking all the people in Israel. He will take them, they will face Ai. He will take them, they will go to Jericho. He will take them, they will go to the land of the Amorites. And before you know it, he was almost expiring. And he was already celebrating that he has taken over the whole land. Then in chapter 13, the Lord came to him. He said, Joshua, look at yourself. You are already old. You are already old. Yet, there are many lands to conquer. God now reminded him of the same old strategy. Allocate. Beloved, And this is what we want to obey now. Don't ask me. Is that what they are practicing, the convention? Don't ask me. How many churches have been doing that? If we are the first person to discover biblical truth, why can't we start another emulate? Don't ask me. What about the national headquarters? You also know that in Baptist, the headquarters begins from the local church. And it is the local church that come together to what? All the local churches come together to form whatever the association, the conference, and the convention. So this has to do with the biblical truth, the biblical principle touching our mission. Say, allocate. To who? To all the people that came out of Egypt. And I thank God for Baba Caleb, even at 85. Say, I remember about 40 years ago when the Lord gave this promise. He said, I'm going to have a special allocation in the land. Though I am 85 years old today, I am still strong as I was. Don't ask me, is it true? But you know that he was given the hill country. That hill country was where the other spies saw the Anakites, the giant. And they said they could not take over. And one man was asking for that land. And he got it. You will get your own allocation in the mighty name of Jesus. And you will conquer your own allocation in the mighty name of Jesus. You will receive your own portion. And the Lord will give you the ability, the power to conquer it in the mighty name of Jesus. So that at the end of your journey, when you are standing before the Lord to receive your reward, you will not go empty-handed. You will go with your bags, with your account full of souls that you have won for the Lord. The Lord will give you souls among Fulanis in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will give you souls among the Hausas in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will give you souls among Kanuris in the mighty name of Jesus. When you stand before God on the last day, you will stand with souls of Chinese that you have delivered unto Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, when you stand on the judgment day to receive your reward, you will go with the souls of Filipinos in the mighty name of Jesus. Alongside with you, there will be Kimberis in the Niger, in Niger state. There will be Dukawas in Niger state that will follow and say, this was the man through whom we saw the light. If not for this man, our children wouldn't have had access to Western education. It was through access to Western education we are able to read the Bible by ourselves, and we discover that Jesus Christ is the only way. Do you believe it is possible? Do you believe that you are part of that movement? Actually, the church, you can see now that right from the beginning, the church is not a monument. God does not desire for the church to stay put in a place and begin to build empire. The church is a movement. Go. As far as you can go, you will possess in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray.